episode 1 of Snatch Through. I am your host, Spencer. I'm the Cabral main, and I am joined by the Palu main, Matt Kling.
Hey, how's it going?
And the Mario main, Mason Clark.
Are we actually doing this?
Doing what?
This right now?
Do you know what's happening? Why else would I be on a podcast right now?
I don't know.
So here's the deal. If you are on the Twitters, then you know that I announced that I was leaving Constructive Criticism. I have an announcement to make. The new host of Constructive Criticism is Mason Clark.
What a weird way to announce that. At the beginning, you said, like, I'm going to do this thing, because you didn't tell him what he was going to do. And he's like, I'm going to do this thing that's going to be, like, this really cool thing or whatever. And then you, like, announced I'm here, and then you announced that I'm taking over. It's just, I didn't expect it to go this way. What can I say?
Well, to be fair, I didn't expect your just visceral reaction to episode 1 of Smash Through. I thought you'd be like, all right, let's talk about some Smash.
I didn't know what to say. So here we are.
So here's the deal. Is I am actually not the host this week, because I'm no longer the host of Constructive Criticism. Mason, you're actually the host this week. You actually wrote the episode, you know, the work, and it was really funny. I text Mason. So a long time ago, like around episode 300, I had thoughts of leaving the podcast. Even before that, there were conversations about me leaving the podcast. It's something that I was done. I didn't know if I was done. And, you know, Mason's been a part of all of this, obviously. And when I was like, I had been talking to Mason about wanting to leave the show. And, you know, I don't know if you told me to sleep on it, but I feel like that's where our conversation ended. And then I woke up and was like, I slept on it. I'm going to quit Constructive Criticism. And then I texted you and was like, if you want it, let me know.
Yep. And so I guess from my side of things, since I was last here as a host, I had left the show. And then in that time, I've joined Nova. And part of that switch there was that eventually I would start a podcast in relation to something as part of like my thing on Nova. And so instead of like it all kind of disappearing, we've just decided to hand the reins over in a way. So here we are. Yeah. And so with that being said, welcome to episode 310 of Constructive Criticism. I'm your host, Mason. I'm joined with my co-host, Matt Kling, and special guest, Spencer Howland.
What's up, guys?
How's it going?
Yeah. So this
week... Come on. That was a great intro. Come on.
I know. You're just did such a good job. I agree.
I know. You're so amazing. I'm so proud of you.
Nailed it, Mason.
Yeah.
You know who else we should be proud of, Mason?
Oasis Games.
Our sponsor, Oasis Games. You can get 15% off your first order by using the code CCMTG in checkout. You can get 4% off of every order. And don't forget to check out our other sponsor at PureMTGO.com and their sponsor at MTGO Traders. You can check out the entire Constructive Criticism Network over on PureMTGO.com.
That's right. How'd that feel? Last one.
I had to get a transition in, right? Like,
that's right. I mean, hey, this is our goodbye episode to you. We're going to talk about things that Spencer's learned from doing the podcast this week, and we're also gonna, you know, talk about always improving and all of that. But before that,
can I just say that I didn't want to, I mean, not that I didn't want to do it, that was not a request by me. Like, I was literally ready to just hand the reins over to Mason.
Yeah, Spencer and I talked about what we wanted to do for the transition off, and you know, we're just gonna be totally candid here. Spencer said, I want to come on and say goodbye, and then I'll leave the, and then he said, and that'll be it. And I said, do you want to leave the call as we're recording the episode? And he's like, I guess so. And I said, I mean, if you want to do that, that's okay. Like, that's in your rights to do that. But I just to be totally honest, I think it makes a lot of sense, you know, with all that you've done for this, the network and the show and everything when it comes to that. And not to mention just what you've learned to do that. And, you know, behind the curtains, there's not a whole lot going on right now when it comes to Magic and results and whatnot. And so we're kind of in this weird lull where it's the week before the Pro Tour starts. It's the week before the SCG circuit starts picking back up again. We had a limited GP. So we're kind of in a spot where it's like, well, you know, if there was ever a time, this is a great time to do this kind of episode. And so I think it made a lot of sense. And, you know, you did a lot of work on this, not only this show, but this network. I mean, 310 episodes is a lot of episodes. So at least, you know, we had to give you our send off. But, It wouldn't be a proper send-off if we skipped hashtag always improving, because that is the point of the show. And Matt, how did you improve this week?
Well, so far this week, I have played, I think, 20-plus drafts of Theros Beyond Death. I know this is mostly a constructed podcast, but that was something that I've been doing to improve Magic.
You've got a pro tour to go to or something? Gosh.
Yeah, something like that. So. Hey,
can I ask, who beat you the most times this weekend?
That would be you.
Oh, man, I didn't even know that. It was just a guess in the dark.
Yeah.
It's actually factual. I actually didn't know if it was me.
I believe that you didn't know that, but it's probably a pretty good educated guess since you beat me twice.
Wow, that's such a brag that no one could beat Matt twice. Wow, this is like brag clock. Holy cow.
Well, just, I mean, only because there were like, you know, 45 players there or whatever. So like the chances of me even getting paired against somebody else that many times is low.
Yeah, can we just give a shout out to Oasis Games on the Turbo Drafts themselves and how successful they were this weekend? That was crazy.
Yeah, we did a lot of Turbo Drafts this weekend.
Yeah, so Oasis was doing $9 drafts that the winner got free entry into the next draft. And then whoever won the most drafts that weekend got free drafts all year long.
That's wow. For a month.
Oh, for a month. That's way less value.
Yeah.
Either way, that's still like, you know, an additional 4 free drafts or maybe more if you go Tuesday and Friday, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good value, especially, you know, considering the packs are getting sold at cost at that point. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, worst comes to worst, you drafted a bunch at cost. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a pretty good way to spend your afternoon. So, but what did you learn a bunch from that, or is it just, you know, you drafted a bunch, or where were you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm learning more about the Theros format. I have some detailed thoughts on it, but I'm not sure that this is the time or the place for that kind of thing.
Sure, okay.
Post it in the Facebook group.
Yeah, I'm certainly happy to do that. I'm going to do that when I get my thoughts a little more formulated on it. But
awesome, that's good to hear. Well, for me, in the always improving thing this week, I have been playing a lot of Standard. I had Standard IQ last weekend where I top 8ed and lost in the quarters. And then I have a Standard team open this weekend. And it is, without there being a whole lot of data on Standard, just some moto events and what we've seen from, like, you know, Arena decklist, retweeting decklists, and playing on ladder, trying to figure out what the optimal deck to play is. And the last weekend at the IQ, I played Jun Food. I'm kind of leaning towards Mono Red right now for the open, but we'll kind of have to see where we're at. Just playing a lot of Standard, and next week we're going to talk about Standard and Pioneer a bunch. So I'll kind of save my thoughts for there once I kind of get there, because I'm still in the process of figuring it out. But just playing a lot of Standard and figuring out kind of what decks matter and whatnot. So that's one of my always improving moment for the week. Spencer, we're not going to give you an always improving moment. We're taking that away from you because the whole segment is the always improving moment, etc. And so are you ready to hop into this, Spencer? It's your time.
I don't know that I'm okay with that, but sure, let's hop into it.
Spencer, how did we get here? How are we where we are right now?
Well, Mason, I think that is something that you and your father should have a conversation about, not something that we should bring up on a children's podcast.
I don't get your joke. What do you mean? Would you like to explain it?
I'm good.
Okay.
With that being said, if you mean, like, how do we get 300 episodes in, I don't know. Like, straight up, there's still to this day, I owe Matt and Casey a group tattoo just because I bet them that we wouldn't get to 100 episodes. They know that I didn't ever want a tattoo in my life. I still owe them one. Same thing to the listeners. If you're interested in designing that tattoo, the constructive criticism tattoo for the three of us, just shoot it to csmtg.info@gmail.com. What you think it should be. If we pick it, I'm sure that we can work out something with Oasis Games to give you some store credit. And also, we'll get it tattooed on our bodies. So.
Yeah, that's already just an insane amount of value.
So, you know, and that was 100 episodes. That was 4 years ago.
Yeah, really, you owe us like a whole sleeve.
Yeah. So how did you guys start CC? You know, we're joking about like you don't know how we got here, but like how did you guys start this?
Well, yeah, I think how did we start it? It was we didn't start it. My friends have a very annoying friend that likes to do projects and involve his friends in the projects to selfishly see his friends more. His name is Spencer Hallen. He does that. And the thing is like, there was, well, I think, can we get into this in the next question? because I think the next question answers this a little bit. And I kind of want to answer your first one a little bit better.
Sure. How did we get here?
That's the question. I think that the more important thing is the truth is that I'm stubborn, and
I can tell right now I'm trying to get you to answer the question.
But you need to get permission to treat the witness as hostile.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is there is some amount of it being me being stubborn and being stuck in like a schedule and just enjoying this for the way that I did. But the truth is that the reason that we're here is because of who we have as listeners. I can definitely speak for myself and Casey, and I think that I can speak for Matt as well on this. And Mason, for what it's worth, that when you do something like this, you don't do it with any expectations. And when you have the kind of listeners that we have that are so dedicated and so kind, it's really inspirational for you to keep going. Anytime that you're sad or anything's happening to you, you just see the hard work that these other people are putting in that are part of a community that you're, you know, spearheading, and it inspires you to keep going. And I know that for me, like, it certainly made this podcast exist today. Like, if it weren't for the listeners, we just wouldn't be here at all. There's just no way that any of us would be here, that we'd even be having this conversation, if it wasn't just for you, the listener, just always improving. We're really lucky. So, I mean, we have doctors, lawyers, fathers, moms, dads, children. I mean, it's people from everywhere have contacted us, and it's amazing. It's really cool.
That's awesome. Clint, did you think it would get this far? I mean, Spencer kind of alluded that, like, you know, he's the guy and he does these projects and he gets his friends involved. I mean, you know, you started Constructive Criticism started about five and a half years ago.
We had a bad podcast before that, too.
I was just going to say, I actually definitely didn't expect it to get this far, especially given the way that our podcast right before that had gone.
Yeah. What are your feelings on that one? This is the tell-all episode.
So the podcast that we were doing before that was called Brain Tapped.
Yeah, it was.
That's correct.
And it was a lot of fun. I mean, it wasn't very productive, or like, I don't think there was anything really useful to be gleaned from it, other than we had some good guests. We had Jerry Thompson on there at one point.
Yeah, Jerry Thompson, Craig Wesko, Mark Rosewater. Did I say Craig Wesko already?
Yeah, you did.
PVDDR. We had I don't know how we got guests for that podcast, because it was terrible. But when you're one of the only shows in town, it's way easier.
Yeah, the secret is that these people are very nice and, you know, we're generous enough to grace us with their presence.
All that
for
a drop of clout.
There's no clout to be gained on that.
Yeah,
back then, everyone was digging. It was like the oil country.
They were giving us clout. It was like, they were dropping it left and right. It was crazy.
But yeah, anyway, I had no idea where this podcast was going to go. You know, Spencer one day comes up to me, he's like, hey, do you want to try like a more focused podcast on trying to get better at magic? And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. That sounds fun. And then here we are, you know, 5.5 years later or whatever, episode 310.
Over six. I mean, we missed tons of episodes. It's over 6 years.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a large portion of your life. What is your biggest takeaway from the actual like act of podcasting, though, Spencer? You know, we just talked about this has been 6 years of your life. I mean, how old are you? Like 36? So that's like, you know, a seventh of your life has been podcasting. Like, what have you taken away? Like, what have you learned from the actual podcasting? And then I'll give you the next question as well, in case you want to have your thoughts lead into it.
Sure.
What about the actual big takeaway from playing Comp Magic as well? Because, I mean, you've been playing Magic for longer than you've been podcasting CC, obviously, per the old podcast. But, I mean, we all know it takes us a while. You've been really playing Magic at, like, a competitive level around probably the same time as CC, right? So what have been your two big takeaways in these last 6 years?
So I definitely had been playing competitive Magic for a couple years before starting CC. I probably wouldn't have started it as a net new competitive Magic player, and I think that was a good decision. I don't think that we could
jump into a podcast just when you're starting playing competitive Magic. That'd be a bad idea.
Yeah, this is obviously not an episode of Smash Through, all right? No one is – I'm not trying to make Smash Through happen. I haven't even asked either of you. Let's just
– I was joking about me.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Continue.
Okay. I thought you were taking shots.
No. I didn't get it the way that you said it, but when you said it, I thought it was very funny. So
yeah.
I'm fully prepared to drop my knowledge on you in Smash, even though I have none.
Yeah. No, what I think for me, like, the thing that podcasting has taught me, and I think that if you're a long time listener, you actually saw this happen, is just learning to listen. It's even funny because I had to learn it a couple of times on this show. I had to start by learning to listen in the form of, I'm bipolar and I have racing thoughts all the time. It was really funny. I was having a conversation with my wife the other day and she's talking to me and I said something about something that she said 2 sentences ago that I was like hundreds of thoughts down the road from. And she looked at me and she's like, are you serious right now? I'm like, I'm sorry. I am listening to you, but also my brain is an overload and I apologize. And like, I catch myself doing that on the podcast all the time. And it got even harder when I got to know my co-host and how we interacted really well. If you just think about like all the times that I've talked to Matt and Michael in my life, I mean, when I would write the show, I knew what their answers were going to be pretty close when writing the show. And it made it easier to write the show for those episodes. But at the same time, sometimes they would surprise me. If I wasn't listening, it was a really rough episode. And you really have to be able to learn because, you know, you may think you know everything. You may think you know what your friends are going to say, what your friends are going to think. You know, these people that are close to you, these people that are better than you, you might even know what they're thinking. And then they'll, you know, say something. And if you don't capture those things that you're missing, you're just missing opportunities to learn. And I think that doing the podcast, people saw me get better at that because I was not a good host to start. And I'm still not an amazing host by any means. But, you know, you have to be able to do that to push yourself forward, the show forward. And I think that it very much applies to Magic. And that's the biggest thing that I learned from that.
Awesome. What about playing competitive Magic during this time? Because, I mean, you're kind of, you know, splitting your time of improving and growing and stuff between not only Magic the Gathering, but also, you know, podcasting and figuring out how to do things like you just talked about, like active listening and stuff like that. So
the first 3 years of CC, it was real easy to do both because I didn't have a kid. I was a newlywed. You know, I played so much Magic. We all did. We all were just, and it's funny how much better we're at Magic now, compared to when we started, and also how much Magic we were playing then. Like, if I had the hours to play, if I had the time to play the amount of Magic I was playing back then, it would be really different. But for me, the thing that competitive Magic has taught me the most is it doesn't really matter what other people think of you. And also that you shouldn't seek that kind of validation. You know, I think that if I'm being candid, I think I'm a lot better at Magic than people think and that anyone would ever be willing to give me credit for. And I also think that knowing that about myself is important. There was an episode of Arena Decklist that Nick Prince was on, or it might've been the one before Nick Prince came on, but either way, Jerry and Brian were talking about Nick, and I think that they brought it up to him on the next episode that he was on, where they just talked to him about, you know, you need to just recognize that you're at where you're at because of the work that you've put in. And that episode really, really resonated with me. And I think that any pressure that we put on ourselves because of our peers is just pressure that's us. You know, you don't need that pressure. That's not something that you have to have on yourself. One of the things that I really like about Magic specifically, and also that I really like about Smash for what it's worth, is that it's a 1v1 game. But in Magic, you get most of your edge by competing against yourself, by making as few mistakes as possible. And then once you've done that, you get to that next level. And that's true in Smash too, for what it's worth. Like, you know, the biggest steps that you're going to make and the biggest gains you're going to make in Magic are going to happen by you beating yourself and not making the mistakes that you would typically make. And then, you know, then you're not going to make this next mistake that you would make and not make this next mistake you would make. Those are going to be your biggest gains. And then you're sitting down from your opponent and you're playing a 1v1 game of Magic, and then you're competing against them, and then you're competing against the field. But first you have to beat I mean, honestly, the stupidity that we all have in ourselves, like, there's a reason that that's a meme in Magic, that we're all bad, right? Is because, in truth, we're all going to make mistakes. And we have to beat those mistakes that we were going to make in order to even be able to compete against our opponent at the highest level. And I think that that is something that Magic players need to accept, is like, the other things don't really matter, because you're not going to get to the level you want to be until you can be your best version of yourself.
Awesome, yeah. It's interesting, you said it's kind of a meme about how bad we are, and I think that was kind of telling to me, because I would say that people that think it's actually a meme are probably some of the people that actually need to step it up the most when it comes to that area, and people who are kind of more candid about it are people who actually kind of get it, right? That, like, can use it jokingly.
Sure, but, like, yeah, that's a good
this
point.
This is actually a thing. I actually have a great example of this at the IQ. I was on the back foot, like, seriously on the back foot against Mono White. I had, like, long story short, I made a small mistake earlier in the game that, like, wasn't the end of the world, but it, like, kind of put me on the back foot. And the series of good draws from them, suboptimal for me, I was really far behind. And I got to a point where I could tell this was the turning point for the game. And basically, I was like, okay, what do I need to do? Can I play around this card or this card? And I came to the conclusion after about a minute of thinking, realizing I was taking too much time, that I couldn't beat both. And so I was going to make the play that was the higher upside play for the long term for the rest of the game, and assuming they draw really well that aren't those cards. And then as soon as I, like, passed, I realized, wait, I did the math wrong. I could have beat this by doing something else. Then they drew the card and I lost. And I was really upset with myself. I'm not normally upset when I lose games. You're going to lose a lot of games. And someone even commented on it, how, like, you seem really upset. And I'm like, yeah, this is, like, unacceptable. Like, to play Magic at the level I want to play Magic, you're not allowed to do basic math wrong. Like,
yeah.
That is not something that you can do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, it's something that you always struggle with and you always kind of push forward to. And, you know, it's one of the things that I think I notice a lot in Kling and Rest in Peace, Michael Hinderocker. They would comment about how, like, the difference between, like, you know, Hinderocker, who was, like, Silver Pro, cashed so many GPs, day two'd so many GPs in a row, you know, insane record, compared to, you know, even just someone like Ben S, or, you know, Sam Pardee, and just then the difference between them and, like, PV, you know? Like, they can tell these things, and they can know that they are still, like, better than the average person, but they also know how far they have to go. And I've really noticed that, you know, in Kling as well.
I think it's really interesting that you say that, because when you look at the great Magic players, right? You know, they just don't – once you get to the point, like I said, when you're not making those mistakes, then it's a game versus 1v1, right? Then you're trying to outsmart your opponent. Then you're trying to get on the next level. And I think too often we try and skip steps in Magic. And the thing that we need to be focusing on is what can I be doing better? And the reason that that was the focus of the podcast – because that's where I was at, you know. I'd still need to get better that way.
Yeah, and there's no secret. There's no, like, the secret is that there's no secret, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to tell you these things on the podcast, and they are a lot of times us teaching you lessons that we've learned or we've heard from other people and are relaying to you.
Yeah.
But, like, you have to put the work in, right? Like, listening to the podcast is a great way to supplement practice, but it is not a supplement for practice. So I think that's very important. Kling, what do you think about all this? You know, we're kind of talking about you, not really talking to you at the moment. What do you think about all this before we move on to the next question for Spencer?
I mean, I agree with most of it. The problems that I have with that are a little bit nitpicky. Like, I think even PV will say that, like, you know, he makes mistakes all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not like you're ever going to work your way out of making mistakes like that. Yes. It's actually way more important to have a better fundamental understanding of the game as a whole rather than trying to make less mistakes.
Sure.
Like, making less mistakes is definitely going to help. Don't get me wrong. Like, not making combat math mistakes is going to help a lot. But it's never going to be as good as...
You're right.
Like,
it's going to be closer to something like making basics mistakes, right? When you're not making, you know, these mistakes that you just shouldn't make.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, yeah, let's use my example. Like, if I spend a minute thinking about and doing math, I should be able to come to the conclusion, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely. Like, I think that's most of the mistakes that you make, though, right? Like,
yeah.
Most of the mistakes are just like, oh man, if I had thought about this for just a little bit longer. But the problem is that we're only allocated so much time, right? And you're not sure which of these decisions is going to be the one that you're going to miss something on.
That's true.
Exactly. So. Yeah, that's
true. That's true.
All right, Spencer. If you had to do all over again, what's one thing you would change?
I wish I'd never met Mason Clark.
Why is that?
No, you're so stone faced. I can't do it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. He was just going to let you run with that one.
Gosh darn it.
I'm so good. What can I say?
A master of this. Honestly, I wish that we had started with a better plan. Not that, like, there wasn't nuggets in the beginning, but, like, I don't even know if you're going to find, like, episode 1 through 5 of Constructive Criticism somewhere. Like, I think that I mean, I definitely would have started with better audio equipment. I would have just, like, maybe we couldn't have, though. I don't know. It's hard to say, right? Like,
well, we had, like, 6 people in the first rendition, right?
The 4, right? It was you, me, Kyle and Casey. And then episode 2, Kyle was already gone.
Yeah. It felt like 6 people. That's all I'm saying. It was, you know, several of us around one microphone.
Yeah. I mean, that's how we did it, right? We got a Yeti mic, and we all – I mean, before we didn't even have the Yeti mic to start. We just sat around a laptop and talked. eventually, we bought that Yeti. And, you know, I think that, you know, looking back on it, I would have prioritized – like, I probably would have just sold some Magic Singles to get better mics for everybody and just done it better. And now by the time Quentin got on the show, you know, we all had our own headsets, and the sound quality had improved, you know, quite a bit. And I think that would have been something that I prioritized. I think early we lost a lot in sound quality. I know that, for example, we have an episode with Alexander Hain. It's probably one of my favorite episodes we've ever recorded, and the sound was so bad. And yeah, that's something that I wish that I had done differently. And you know, it sucks, right? Most content creators will just tell you, like, hey, you know, go out and just do it. It's going to be easier if you just do it. And I don't know that I would give that advice. I think that I would give the advice to, like, sit down, make a plan. What do you want to talk about? What is the message you're trying to convey? And, you know, we did that, but we did it in chunks as the show progressed. And I kind of wish that we had done it up front. I think that the podcast would have been better for it. But you can't look back on 6 years and, like, I in all honesty, like, I wouldn't change a thing about this. I'm just saying, like, if I did it again, that's what I would do.
Do you think it's realistic to be able to get to where we are now without the experience of, like, those, for lack of a better term, failures? Like, do you think that you could have come up with the plan and, like, the vision for this show without having gone through the
I don't know. I don't know. Versions? I can certainly say that BrainTapped made CC possible, right? Like, and that failure was catastrophic.
Yeah.
Like, it was a terrible podcast.
It was. But
it really was. And, like, the Spencer that was on that show, the other thing is, like, CC is – I'm 29 years old despite the lies that 14-year-old Mason will tell you. And, like, I mean, I was 23 when we started the show. I might have been younger than that. Might have just been married. I mean, I think it might have been just before I was married. I grew up on the show. Like, I thought I knew everything when we started this. And, you know, as I learned and as I grew, I don't know. I think that you learn that you don't know as much. And that I wish that I could change that part of Spencer from back then, because I think the show would be better for it.
Awesome. Same question about magic.
Oh man, that's not in the script.
Yeah. We're an improv podcast. Let's go.
We're an improv podcast now.
Never say no.
What I wish I knew 6 years ago?
If you could go back and redo magic, and you could tell yourself, like, you know, one sentence or one little thing, what would you say to yourself? What would you have yourself know?
Don't concede in the top 8 of states. You're never gonna live it down.
All right.
Don't just take the 3-time state championship and be happy about it.
I mean, to be fair, from everybody else's perspective, that looked like a lifelong regret at the time of it happening. We didn't need 6 years of perspective to get there.
Why is that?
Yeah.
Because he was never going to live it down.
Because they would never let me live it down.
Wait, what I'm asking is, why is it a regret of yours that you conceded? I'm asking you to elaborate.
Oh, mostly because that was mostly a joke. My friend just made fun of me for 6 years. I mean, it's been longer than that now. No, that was actually after the podcast, but that was the one that I could think of. Sure. I think the biggest thing that I would say is, like, you know, if you're going to do this, you should do it. You know, I think that I mean, I even when I was a grinder. I just always played less events than my friends. I always prioritized slightly different things than my friends did. And it wasn't because they were more competitive than me. I think that I was just as competitive as them. I don't know. It was just different for me. I think that I would have learned more. I think that I could have made going to more Grand Prix work, for example. And I wish that I had done that when I had the time to do that and when I had the drive to do that. And I think that I would be a better Magic player because of that.
Awesome. Well, this is the end of an era. I mean, starting next week, you just won't be on the podcast again, probably for a while. You know, like, I'm sure you're going to come on and guest and then episode 400 or something like that. But, like, you know, probably a long time, what are you going to do next? What's going to happen? You have, you know, a couple hours freed up every week now. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I think that it would surprise people to hear that I used to spend 20 hours a week on CC stuff. I still probably spend 10, if not a little bit more, on thinking about the show, doing stuff for the show, making sure that certain things are ready for the network and things like that. It's crazy because literally at work today, a coworker came up and said, "I heard you're quitting your podcast. What are you going to do next?" So I've been asked this question, probably over 100 times in the last couple of days, which is crazy because you kind of forget how big something like 6 years of work can translate to, and how, you know, I think that people have an expectation that I'm going to do something. And I honestly don't know. I have thoughts around some projects today. Sitting in front of my computer playing Magic, I thought of tons of things that I would like to make videos about, and I'll be around the Constructor Criticism YouTube channel. You can't get rid of me like that. Like, you know, I still own the network, right? Like, I'm not going anywhere. But I think that I have different wants in life right now. You know, a really good example is I really want to do a podcast with Maxwell when he gets older. I already have a name picked out. I already know what I think he'll want it to be about, but you know, he's got multiple years of growth where I get to see, you know, what is he passionate about? And, you know, can I do something that we're passionate about together? And, you know, that's kind of where my brain is now. And that's it. I plan on making some other content there. I'm doing an episode of Arena Mythic Cast with Trey on Wednesday. And I don't know if there'll be a hiatus of that. I don't know. I haven't even made that decision yet. So I, to be completely honest, I don't know what's next for me in like the content world.
Okay. Can I guess what your podcast is going to be called and what it's going to be about with your son?
Go for it.
Shot call.
It's going to be a sports podcast, and you're going to call it Howlin' Hoops.
Oh, dude, that's a great name too. That wasn't it. But,
okay, fair enough.
But dude, he'd be in, he'd be into that.
Nice. Yeah.
He'd do that now with me if I asked him. He'd get in front of a mic and talk basketball right now. And then Rudy put it in the hoop and he dunked it. And then he got the rebound. I can hear it now.
Ball.
Gold. Ball. Gold. Podcast gold.
There you go. Awesome. Well, Spencer, this is, you know, the end of our interview. This is, you know, kind of all the questions we had lined up for you. And I've kind of left this last little part in the show notes for
this
you.
This is so unfair.
What?
Because Matt's going to leave too.
Well, I was going to talk about that after you were done. I was trying to make it about you, but if you want to make it about him too, you did mention you're a friend that likes to drag his friends in.
I feel like I'm being thrown under the bus.
You're not being thrown under the bus. It's Matt's going to be here for a couple more weeks. Let's talk about it now. So I guess we'll just take a moment. We're going to have Spencer a minute to collect his thoughts before he talks. What's going to happen is there is going to be somebody who is going to take over the role of co-host when Matt's gone. And it's not because I don't like Matt or Matt, etc.
It's the other way.
Yeah, Matt doesn't like me. That's the problem. But he's contractually obliged, you know. No, but Matt and Spencer kind of did this together, and, you know, Matt wants to kind of move on. And, you know, Matt kind of mentioned how, like, if Spencer leaves the show, he doesn't really want to stay. But he was willing to stay because, you know, we're friends, and he wants to make sure the show transitions smoothly. And the person I have in mind and I'm talking to currently is a little busy, and we're still trying to figure things out. So Matt's going to be here probably, if I assume everything goes the way I'm kind of predicting in my head, until, you know, about early March, and then most likely late March at the latest. So
Matt's not really allowed to leave until his tokens get printed anyway. So we can send those out.
Yeah.
But I think that if there's one thing I'm appreciative of in like my history of constructive criticism, I mean, it's got to be Matt Gling and Michael Hinderacher. Like, I love Casey, I love Manny, I love all of you guys. Like, every single one of you that have done the show with me, I'm so grateful for you. But, dude, like, think of how many episodes Michael just got on the call and did the podcast. And same thing with Matt. Like, these guys just, like, they're just love to talk about Magic was, I mean, it's all I needed to, you know, to do all these episodes off of. And that means a lot to me. And I you know, Matt, I'll let you speak to it, but I don't think Matt's, you know, going to leave the show because I'm leaving the show. I think Matt just, like me, we've said what we need to say about these topics, and it's time to hand it over to somebody else.
Yeah, I'm just kind of, you know, moving on to other things with life in general. So I'm always happy to do the podcast. I love the listeners, all the fans. I love doing this with you guys. This is great, but you know, so at some point, it's just time to move on, I guess.
So. Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, all right. So I'll answer the question.
Yeah. So it's not a question. It's actually it's a courtesy.
It's a TED Talk.
Yeah.
Okay. Dang it. I'm not going to do it.
All right. Well,
we're going to make it. We're going to make it. All right. So the first thing I want to say is I could not thank everybody that I would need to thank if I, like, you know, like when they do the Oscars, they like start trying to name people and they're like rushing because the music's speeding up. Like, we'd just be here for way too long. So I'm not even going to try. What I can say is that if you've ever sent me a text, a tweet, an email, a comment on a YouTube channel, a letter or whatever it was, I promise you I read it. I promise you it meant a lot to me. And, you know, this doesn't even include the amazing people that I've got the opportunity to meet. I mean, we had a karaoke party at GP Vegas where, you know, I mean, this is one of the biggest memories of my life, just champagne brunches at Grand Prix and, you know, listener dinners and, you know, just people walking up to me and talking to me about the show and how much it meant to them. I had opponents at Grand Prix. I mean, it's every single one of you. It meant a lot. So thank you. I also just want to, you know, use my pedestal to say something, and that is to be kind to one another, you know, and do what you can to lift other people up around you. You know, the show has changed my life a lot. Like I said before, I grew up through doing constructive criticism, and I think that that's true for both me and some of our listeners that have listened for a long time. You know, we grew up doing this and we've become different people since we started this. And honestly, because of the mentality of always improving and because of the lessons that we teach on this podcast, you know, I my whole life has changed. How I interact with people around me, the type of how much easier it is for me to make friends, you know, how, you know, my job situation, I promise you I would not be in the position that I'm in at work without the lessons that this podcast taught me. And I really mean that. And, you know, I think that if there's one thing that I can say is that the listeners taught me that. You know, I had people send us diapers, blankets, money, toys, you know, everything when Maxwell was born. I've had the reverse is true. I've paid listeners' bills. I've had, you know, we did a GoFundMe for a listener to go to a Magic event. You know, I've had serious conversations with people about mental health. Like, I think that the kindness that this podcast has brought into my life and the opportunities that it has given me to give kindness that is like the thing that I will miss the most about constructive criticism is just the opportunity to lift each other up and help them. And if there's one thing that if the listeners can do for me when I go, it's that to just do that themselves. You see somebody that needs help with their seal deck, help them with it. You see somebody that needs sleeves, you have some extra sleeves, give them to them. The number of times that I've seen people make fun of a player's sleeves because they're dirty, rather than just getting up and buying them a pack of Ultra Pros is crazy to me at every level of Magic. And I just hope that like stuff like that, like we see something like that and we just do it and we just make the game a better place. I think that is like the message that I would give. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for everything you've done for the network. Thank you for the work you've done on the show, on Common Knowledge, on Homeward Path, on, you know, Mythic Cast, on everything. Thank you for the opportunities. I mean, you've helped change the path for a lot of people, you know, like, we don't talk about, but, like, you know, you helped start Proven Combatants, which started its own thing, and, you know, now they're sponsoring, you know, female non-binary players on the tour, and you've had a great big impact on the community, and so just want to say thank you here on the air to wrap things up before we go and, you know, actually end the episode.
Thanks.
Yeah. I also just wanted to add how impressive this whole thing is, like, not only your impact on just Constructed Criticism, but the whole network and the community that you've built here. It's just, it's really impressive, and it's something you should definitely be proud of.
Amen. Dang it, I wasn't gonna cry!
Clang, high five, we got that free easy money. Easy money. easiest $5 in my life. Alright, well, if you want to follow Spencer along, you can follow him at Spencer13H on Twitter.
I was literally about to say. I was going to be like, all y'all was wrong. The Matt started talking.
And how to get him right in the feels.
Yeah. Easiest five of my life. You can follow Kling at the Witch Kling on Twitter, and you can follow me on Twitter at Mason E. Clark. You can find all our other stuff there, and you can follow the podcast at CCMTG on Twitter. You can go to patreon.com/CCMTG. The show will always be free. But if you want to support the show, that there's that. We're going to change the Patreon a little bit. I'm not exactly sure what's going to change, because part of that will be like what my new co-host and I can commit to.
Yeah.
Can I
say something on this?
Sure.
Yeah. This isn't scripted either, for what it's worth. Yeah. The number one thing that I would say to the listeners is to be patient. You know, I know how bad how thrashing the last year and 4 months of Constructed Criticism has felt. And I get it. I get that it's like, can we just have some stability? And I promise that I've left the podcast in the very, very capable hands of Mason Clark. And Mason's not going anywhere. And I just thank you for, honestly, like, thank you for taking over, Mason. It means the world to me that you would carry this on.
Not a problem. Anytime. But to wrap up the thought about the Patreon there, what will definitely be happening, you know, now I have the Thanos gauntlet. I have all the power right now.
We're definitely not even sure I still own it.
We have the Thanos gauntlet. Snap. we will honor what's happening. So, like, the Obi tokens and the Kling tokens, they will go out. All those things will go out. Anything that you have, like, earned or unlocked or etc., that will still be happening. Long term, I don't know exactly what everything's going to be, but I can promise you it's going to be about 99% the same. You know, there's just a transitional period. Much like WotC last year, when they said 2019 is going to be a transitional year, expect that, except like 1,000 times less worse. It's really going to be nothing for you. So,
as long as it's less convoluted, I think that's all we can really ask for, right?
Yeah, well, it's going to be direct, it's going to be clear, and I think if everything goes the way that I would have it go if I was complete master of the universe, it will all make sense what I'm saying now when the time comes. But it's hard to commit to these things when not everything's up in the air. I am definitely a person that likes to have a plan, execute on the plan, and have things go, but I can't pull the trigger yet because I don't have, you know, everything in stone yet. So thank you all so much, and we'll see you all next week for the next episode of Constructed Criticism.
Love you guys.